Everybody, we are back. It's Taped Online. It was a great win, guys. It's your favorite Raiders podcast, favorite Raiders channel, favorite Raiders, whatever. Subscribe. Hit the like button if you like it. Hit the dislike button if you dislike it. You guys already know what to do. If you like it, leave a comment. You know, if you dislike it, you know, leave a comment too. You know, I had some battles this week with some of the comments. Some of them are pretty funny, man. You know, so one guy wanted the channel deleted. So here we are, though. We're still here. And the Raiders won. And also, you make sure you follow us on Twitter at the Mark John NFL for me, at BD Williams 18. Make sure you go ahead and check out that Manscaped, right? Manscaped.com, discount code TDL. Make sure you guys go there and, you know, represent, support us. Definitely go ahead and, you know, get that lawnmower 4.0. You know, it's almost Christmas time, guys. You know what I'm saying? It's almost Christmas time. It's time to start buying some of those gifts for your grandparents, or, you know, your dad, or whatever you want to buy it for, you know, and even for the ladies listening, you can get it for your husband. So definitely check it out. And it's a great day, guys. I mean, we had a great bounce back game after the two back-to-back ugly performances. Yeah. From the offense bounced back and had a great game. They were great today. It's probably one of the best offense performances from a Raiders team in a long time. You know, I saw Josh DeBoe posted some stats. I forgot the yards per play, but it was almost 9 yards. So hold on, I'm gonna get this for you guys. But yeah, it was one of the best offensive performances that you've seen from this team in a while. And it's just crazy. I mean, they had 52 plays, 426 yards. Like, that is pretty efficient. You know, I that's what I've been talking about, is I want this offense to become efficient again. And I think that was what was really missing from what we saw, man. From, you know, they were able to run the ball better today, right? They were able to, you know, pass. They had a good offensive line, a lot of play action. You know, I wouldn't say it's a lot of play action, but a lot more play action.
More play action
than we usually see, right? So it was very nice. We saw some of the plays that I hinted out. And I just want to say this, that I think it's time to probably say that the play designer, the guy who designs the plays, is finally just calling the plays. And you got to see what happens. You saw what happens. And I don't know if everybody's hating on Greg Olsen, man. It's just funny. Like, the whole week, everybody's hating on Greg Olsen. Oh, he's going to suck. He's going to do all this stuff. He's going to do all of this. That is perspective with me, right? Josh Freeman, Blake Bortles. All right? He had buzz around all – he had some of you guys – you went to 2016 thinking you had Blake Bortles on your fantasy team, you would be all right. You thought you were going to be okay, right? And then, you know, you would – not Greg Olsen.
So that's why I wanted to ask you, you know, Olsen being there, how much has changed from you? I mean, and you're a guy who watches Raiders offense, obviously probably more than just by anyone on the planet, you know, who's not in the building. But so with Olsen there, are we seeing like back to kind of like ball control oriented, like putting together like big drives? Is Carr still slinging it at the same rate that he has been this year? Like, what changed?
It's balance to me. I think they're setting things up. So you'll notice, like, in this game in the second half, they attacked downfield pretty much the whole second half. But in the first half, there's a little bit of a drought, right? There's a little bit of a drought, kind of a slow period. But they're, because they're throwing a lot of short passes. Everything was kind of short. Everything was kind of thrown short in shorter areas. You know, even like the throw to Renfro that he got held on. I mean, that was a short throw. So they were setting everything up. And then even the Kenyon Drake throw, I mean, on that same drive, I mean, he hit him on a choice route, same kind of route. I mean, even though it's designed for him to go wherever he want to go, is either inside or outside, that outside motion still made Johnson jump on it, right? And then when Drake, you know, hit the wheel, it was open. And that's setting things up. And that's why the deep passes in the second half were there, because the Broncos had to respect the short game too. I mean, you couldn't just back up, right? I mean, I think that's what teams were doing the last couple of weeks. They just kept backing up, and the Raiders just kept designing these plays, right? And there's more setups today and more thought process behind what were our plan is for the game. You know, there was more of a thought process, and that's why they're able to attack downfield and get more one-on-ones and get better looks later in the game, because they were setting them up. You know, you can't just let them just drop back, man. I mean, the Bears were just dropping back, you know, and there was no game plan to bring them up. And that's what happened in this game. So,
right. Okay. So kind of messing with their rules a little bit and getting their underneath defenders, you know, soloed up. I think, you know, when I was watching it, I think I watched Broncos defense earlier today, or maybe like last night, but I saw that inside linebacker and I was like, okay, that guy, he's not gonna be able to cover anyone. Kenyon Drake, you know, got him on that wheel route. So that's definitely a good thing to see. I mean, obviously proof's in the pudding. They scored like a crazy amount, 34 points against, you know, this is a talented defense. Obviously it's not, they're not playing their best ball right now, especially that defensive line isn't getting a lot of pressure on the quarterback, but you got Von Miller out there, you know, you got Simmons out there, Patrick Surtain, like he had a great game. You know, he's probably the only guy in the secondary who had a great game for them, but it's a talented defense, obviously. So poses some problems, but the Raiders handled it. Let's jump over to defense real quick. You know, something that was interesting to me watching, just like how much ball production the secondary was getting, like in terms of contested catches, pass breakups, right? I mean, like we could go down the list right here. Corey Littleton had that one in the end zone where he deflected it. Faceon came in out of nowhere with three pass breakups. Hayward had a pass breakup. Trayvon Merrick had a pass breakup. Jonathan Abram had an interception. You know, so it was pretty fun to see the amount of ball production in the secondary. I think that's gonna be a key. You know, like this, people got to step up in coverage. And it's not just rallying to the flat and, you know, gang tackling and, you know, hustling to the football. It's also, you know, breaking up some passes. So I think that's really good. Obviously, Amik Robertson struggled. What week was it when he came in?
It was week four he came in, right?
So week four he came in, he had a good game.
Yeah.
Since then, he's struggled hard, like bad. And then it really came to a head today. You know, as soon as Faceon got hurt, I mean, Faceon came in for him because he was struggling so bad. He was giving up catches to, you know, all those guys out there. Some of the things like, you know, how teams like to attack cover three, you know, heavy teams that they like to run, like that deep stop route, you know, that deep curl route, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then have someone in the flat and they kind of put that curl flat defender in conflict and the quarterback just throws wherever that curl flat defender doesn't go, you know, wherever he's not. Yeah. And it puts the corners on an island sometimes defending that comeback, you know, like that deep comeback, that deep stop route, that deep pitch route, whatever you want to call it, the curl route. Meek Robinson was getting eaten up on those. Casey Hayward gave up a couple of those too, but Faceon came and broke up, I think, two passes on that concept. You saw Jonathan Abram hang in that curl window, get that interception against that concept later in the game, you know, when the game is basically over, you know, put the game away. So encouraged by those guys. Faceon obviously came in. I'm gonna have to really dive into the tape. I'm excited to watch, you know, what this guy's all about. It was funny because when Amik was struggling, I was like, man, it would have been a great time to have Isaiah Johnson. Right. Because I forgot all about Faceon. Someone hit me up. I think a couple people, matter of fact, hit me up in the DMs on Twitter. And they were like, are you going to do a Brandon Faceon, you know, like breakdown? And I was like, nah, man, like this guy's like a practice squad player. Like, right. Like, I'm not going to be, you know, wasting my time with that. You know, he showed me like he's legit. Right. So I got to, you know, cut the tape on and see what Brandon Faceon's all about. But he had a good game for sure.
Yeah. I thought the defense played well. I mean, you know, there's a lot of pass rush is one of the best in the league. And, you know, they really showed out again. So, I mean, the defense, they look like they could be beat by like a really good quarterback.
Yeah.
But I don't know how many good quarterbacks are going to be facing.
I also think that's going to be a closer game. Obviously, the final score made it look like it was closer than it was.
Yeah.
Because Raiders dominated that game.
Yeah.
So they got some garbage time, you know, scores. Touchdown, but anyways, you know, it would have been a closer game if Jerry Jeudy wasn't, let's keep it real. You know, just seeing how much our corners were struggling to defend Courtland Sutton. Courtland Sutton, I apologize, Courtland Sutton, if I, you know, took a dig at him in our preview.
Yeah.
Because he hasn't really done anything so far this year. And I'm thinking that he's hurt or he's coming back off injury. Man, he had a monster game, really. He was a big deal. He was tough to cover for the Raiders. Mm-hmm. But all the other guys on the Broncos, like the Raiders were strapping those guys, making every single catch, you know, a contested catch basically. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I agree with you. A great quarterback is going to be able to handle this defense.
Yeah.
But, you know, like you're saying, how many great quarterbacks are there out there? And these guys, they're stacking the improvements together. We're seeing slowly areas that were question marks kind of get answered. So yeah, I'm encouraged by the progress. Let's jump back over to offense. I was noticing that the offensive line was, in my opinion, yes, I think that there were some really good timed runs that were successful, but it didn't really look like they were getting a bunch of push. And there's like plenty of runs that were stuffed for like, you know, a stop basically, you know, like 2 or 3 yards. Yeah. So what are you seeing from the offensive line, including some pass protection?
I thought pass protection was good on the initial watch. You know, with O-line, I always like to go back because I feel like all 22 years, that's how you really can tell how the O-line playing. You know, I really don't like to super judge them off broadcast, but from what I saw, you know, Derek Carr did have a lot of good pockets, and you know, the Broncos will have a good pass rush. And you know, I mentioned that on a preview. They just don't have a good pass rush, really, right? And they have to manufacture pressure. So when they start blitzing Carr, that's when, you know, Carr is able to, you know, make some big plays downfield. And that's what we saw. I thought they picked up blitzes better. I mean, they had that one mistake that led to almost, ruined a 3rd-and-2 where Renfrow was able to get open, but they're hit and miss right now, but you just want them to be solid, put out some solid performances. Cause I think that's all they need to be. I don't know if they need to be great. I just think they need to be a solid offensive line. I think we saw a solid performance today. I mean, it probably wasn't a great performance. I'm sure I cut on the tape and like Brandon Parker's getting ran over or something. I'm sure something happened like that. You know, there's probably some kind of little quirks that they're having, but it looked like they communicated a little better. I think they mixed up the run game a little bit too. You know, the touchdown with Kenyon Drake was still like mid zone, but you know, I think they mixed up the run game a little bit as well. You know, I did see a little bit more power than we usually see, but you know, I got to dig into that too, you know, to really get a feel for that. But I liked what I saw. And I just think that the control and the way the play calling was, I thought it was great. You know, Derek Carr even made a mention of that too, how, you know, they're getting the plays in so quick that he was able to make a lot of changes at the line because the plays were coming in quicker than they usually do. So I thought that was interesting.
Okay.
He said that, bro. That's what he said.
All right. That's interesting. Yeah. Something that I noticed, I think that when you have that play action, that helps your offensive line. If your offensive line is struggling, you know, you get the quarterback outside the pocket, you know, you get him on the move a little bit, change up the defensive pass rushers, change up their game plan.
Yeah.
Constantly keep them trying to figure out, okay, how do I rush the passer here? How do I get pressure on the quarterback by doing things like that? You can't just like drop back all game, right? Yeah. You gotta do some different things, especially if you're, I mean, unless you have an incredible offensive line, you can drop back all game, I guess, but the Raiders do not. So definitely supplementing. You talked about the play action. I think we saw some bootlegs. They weren't effective. Mm-hmm. They weren't effective in terms of the production on the field for that play.
Yeah.
But where they were effective was now defensive ends are going, okay, I have to worry about this boot action, right? Yep. Mm-hmm. So line up a little wider, maybe rush a little wider, right? Yep. Mm-hmm. Changes their game plan. That's going to help the offensive line out when you do things like that. We saw, and we've seen, honestly, even under Gruden, obviously, when the offensive line had like struggles at some points, they do some things to keep.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price.
go to your happy price, Priceline. Give them some help. And I think that they do as good a job as any team in the NFL in terms of scheming their liabilities on the offensive line.
Yeah.
Into being like manageable, serviceable, you know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you can't do that without the balance, right? Like you're talking about the quick game was there.
Yeah.
They were running the ball. There were some effective run plays. It wasn't like great run performance or anything like that, but
yeah,
it was effective. It was solid, mm-hmm. you know? So you can't do that without, you know, these other areas of the game clicking together. Right.
Yeah. And you know, I want to talk about like a lot of this. They're trying to do a lot of sprint outs. They're trying to get Carr on the move a lot. You know, trying to get him out there. Some of them didn't work, like the third and two, you know, before they missed that field goal early on. That one didn't work, but I mean, that was still, I still think that's a good idea, especially when they're, you know, they're struggling on short yardage to, you know, try to get him on the move and get some of those throws going, you know what I mean? And just, it didn't work this week, but, you know, it could work next week. Him getting on the move, like they did some RPOs too, where they got Carr on the move as well. That didn't work, but I still like the ideas of getting him, you know, outside the pocket too. And you know, you want to talk about Henry Ruggs, and, you know, I've been talking about him like all year. I thought he's just definitely took a next step like crazy, you know,
for sure.
And for sure. I think him and Carr have like a great connection that, you know, I think that's not being
it's
highlighted.
It's developing.
I don't know if it's developing. I think it's great now. I'm going to tell you why it's great now.
Okay, right? Tell me.
All right, I'm going to tell you why it's great now. Because Derek Carr anticipates with Henry Ruggs like crazy. And it, like I'm telling you, probably every deep ball that you guys saw, I bet Derek Carr threw that early as hell. I bet I haven't seen it, but I bet money that he threw that ball before he even broke out. I bet it. Because he's been doing that all year. I mean, even there's been times where he's been anticipating where he's going to go. And the guy that like the corner's like, 2 yards in front of Ruggs, but he just throws it up because he knows Ruggs could outrun him. And I think they have a great connection on deep balls. They're 7 for 11 this year on throws over 20 yards.
Hey, 7-11.
That's a lot, bro. So have you ever seen
a wide receiver have this much production through six games against cover zero blitzes? Like Henry Ruggs is the cover zero killer. Yeah, why? Why do you do this to yourselves, defenses?
I don't know.
Every single team that the Raiders have beat this year, they're cover zero blitzing them, and Henry Ruggs comes down with a long bomb. It's like, are you guys watching the tape at all? No, stop doing that.
They're not.
You can't leave their corner out to dry with no safety help. Like, you can't do that, you know? So that's dumb, first of all. You see Derek Carr on the bomb. Filthy route. Great route from Ruggs, okay? Yeah. And – Derek Carr, he's got an all-out blitz. Like, there was no safety there. It was definitely cover zero. I don't have to cut the all-22 on. Yeah. Like, there wasn't a post safety just, like, twiddling his thumbs in the middle. Like, no, there was no one there, right? Yeah. Uh-huh. So Carr has to, like, back up and throw off his back foot, obviously, because they're sending the house at him. And like you're saying, he's probably throwing it before Henry Ruggs even breaks out.
I bet he is.
So, but it's a great I've seen some people on Twitter, they're talking about like specifically that play, but a couple other plays, they're talking about Derek Carr hanging the ball up a little bit. And just my opinion, on that specific play, you can hang the ball because it's cover zero. There's no safety there. And you let the wide receiver adjust.
Yeah,
that's great play. You don't have to throw a laser against, you know, cover zero. No, like let him adjust to that. That's fine. Especially because I think, in my opinion, Henry Ruggs has big man game. He has a big man kind of like mentality when the ball's in the air, the contest catches, the body control. I don't think that he's like, he's not like an Amari Cooper where we were used to seeing Amari Cooper like to make it look real chill. And he just like to just like run underneath it and put his hands up late and catch it in stride. Yeah. That's Amari Cooper's thing. He likes to make it look effortless out there. Now Henry Ruggs likes to go up for it, right? So I think it took Carr a little bit to adjust to Henry Ruggs' style, because you're thinking, okay, he's a speed guy, right? He's like a finesse guy. No. He's a beast at the catch point guy.
Just throw it out. That's what I've been saying. Just throw it to him.
Yeah.
And you know, people get mad about some of the underthrows, but you don't want to overthrow him, because this is what happened. Okay, so either if Derek Carr just throws it to him, right, just throws it up, there's a couple things that's gonna happen, right? He's so fast that he's gonna speed by the guy, right? And then if he underthrows it, PI, or Ruggs jumps up in the air and he catches it. I mean, it's just been happening all year. That's what I'm talking about. They're 7 for 11. Because if Derek Carr has like underthrown him, he just catches it anyways. So, yeah. I mean, that's kind of where we're at this point.
And that's why you have to throw it to him. The margin for error, right, when you're throwing it to Henry Ruggs, now it's a pretty big margin for error that you have, because if you do underthrow, he can still cut it off and jump higher, you know, and jump higher than the corner, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you can't, like we saw, it's way better to hang the ball out there a little bit, especially when you got a guy who's that athletic and that explosive.
Yeah.
Than what we saw like a little earlier in Ruggs' career, which is being overthrown somehow by Carr.
Yeah. I mean, and when they have missed this year, it's because Carr he overthrew him.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, if he
don't overthrow,
don't overthrow him.
Don't overthrow him. Why not?
Give him a chance.
Yeah. Give him a chance.
Always give him a chance, because 100%. he's going to jump up and catch it. I mean, we even saw it last year. There's flashes of it last year. Right. But now it's consistent to me. I'm like, you just throw him the ball. Let's get it. Worst scenario. Like, I don't think he's going to throw a pick.
Move on.
Okay. My bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Right. Okay, let's move on. One more thing before we get out of here. First of all, shout out to Sunjoku in the chat. Kevin Wynn, he said it's pronounced Faison for Brandon Faison.
Okay,
so I appreciate that, man. Holla at you. Holla at Tokyo Raider in the chat. Appreciate you guys. Let's talk about the Raiders' run defense, okay?
Okay.
The Broncos still put up 100 yards rushing on the ground.
Okay.
They had – their backs had similar yards – per carry average as they had all year.
Okay.
4.8 for Javonte Williams, 5.0 for Melvin Gordon. I think that the effectiveness of the run defense, though, was present. Some of those drives that they stalled, that they weren't getting points on, it started with a run stuff, right? Early in the drive. That's how you got to stop this team. And they limited chunk plays, right? Like, we've seen both of these backs so far this year. You give them an inch, they're going to take a mile on you,
mm-hmm.
right? And the Raiders did not allow that to happen. So the chunk gains didn't happen in the run game. That's crucial, crucial to the success of this game, playing the complementary football. They're able to stop the run. And I think that this defense can stop the run if they want to. I think that the previous 2 weeks going up against the Chargers mm-hmm. and the Bears, they weren't really worried about stopping the run. And you could just kind of tell, like, their defensive linemen were just getting straight into their pass first. They were just going straight after the quarterback. And then, like, it's a run play. My bad. You know, and you know, just, like, not being in a good position. They emphasize on stop and run. So I think that they can do a solid job at it if the emphasis is there. But we'll see if that continues to be the case, depending on the matchup. But certainly it had to be the case this week. Like, that's what they hang their hat on. That's how this offense works. The Broncos offense works mm-hmm. is by running the ball. That, you know, if you have to put it all on Teddy Bridgewater's shoulders, no offense to Teddy Bridgewater. I like Teddy Bridgewater as much as the next guy, you know, but he's not gonna, you know, put the team on his shoulders and you know, crawl out of like a huge deficit mm-hmm. by airing it out. Right. Let's just be honest.
Yeah.
So that helps for sure. Great job by the defense. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And defensive line, they were dominant today, man. You know, they were, I'm surprised that Teddy Bridgewater finished the game. He's a tough guy.
Yeah,
he's a tough guy. He could have been a boxer because he was in deep water. He was getting hit a lot, and he kept on getting up off the mat and playing. So credit to him. He's a warrior. He's tough, but defensive line was wreaking havoc in this game.
Wreaking havoc, man. Everybody was like, they're all over them. So,
I mean, it was Max Crosby had probably the sickest play I've seen him make this year, and it was a run stop. It wasn't even a sack.
Yeah.
But he just like completely like dead legged the tight end and just cut into the backfield. I'm gonna highlight it on TDO on the review show for sure. That was a sick play. Max Crosby has some really good plays.
Yeah, man.
I was a little disappointed in Yannick Ngakoue though. I thought that when I was watching him on the broadcast copy, he was running around the pocket the entire game, and I wasn't seeing a steady, you know, rush from him. And I thought that Cleveland Farrell was in a lot more than usual. So I think that there might be an injury there.
Okay.
For Yannick.
That is true. Farrell did play a lot more snaps, I think, than usual.
Than usual. Yeah.
Yeah. Some decent rushes though. I mean, he looked like a decent power rusher out there.
Oh, Clee. Klee? Yeah. These tackles aren't good. I'm telling you, these tackles aren't good. I watched them. I was like, oh, okay, these guys aren't looking good here. Yeah, they're not. I'm not. Yeah, we got to see against a better team, honestly. So that's it. Instant reactions. I think it's a great win, especially the context of the game. If you just like take a step back from the X's and O's and technique and everything that's going on out there, where you just lost their head coach, dealing with having a new voice, have the command in the room, in the building with Rich Bisaccia. I think that he is a good leader. Just judging off of, some of the press conferences that we've seen, some of the times that we see him on the sidelines during like the mic'd up sessions.
Yeah.
Some of the things that the Raiders players have said about Rich Bisaccia. So I think he is a good leader. But you got to find out like on Sundays how that translates. Right. So I think that this is a good step and it's a step in the right direction. Raiders got to finish this though. Right. And to be honest, Broncos, let's be honest, not a great team. Right.
No, they're not.
So it's, yeah, they handled business. They did what they had to do. They went on the road. They beat a division opponent on the road. Division opponent was missing some key players and had kind of their offense turned into not a great offense without those receivers who were missing and everything like that. So we'll see how the rematch goes. But I think they did what they had to do. We got two NFC East opponents coming up next. One of the worst divisions in professional football. So hopefully, we can get on a roll here before the bye week.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I mean, they definitely got to handle some of these games now that they're coming up, especially that are in front of them. But, they got to show up. So we can talk about how they're favored or whatever.
Got to show up.
They got to show up.
Got to show up, yeah. But, yeah, they did what they had to do. It's, again, not a great team. So they don't get, like, too much kudos for this. Too many pats on the back, right?
I mean, they kind of beat them down. I mean, if they're not playing a great team.
Yeah, you beat them down.
You feel good about a team. That's you playing a team that's not good, and you go in there on the road and you beat them down.
Yeah, I think you beat them down.
You got to feel good about that to me.
The advantage, though, believe it or not, and people might disagree with me, I think that the Raiders did have an advantage going from everything that they had on tape was Gruden had his hands on, right?
Yeah.
And now this is going to be the week where it's like, now I'm sure, what's his face? Fangio is like, trying to check out all that Blake Bortles film that you're talking about. Like trying to get an idea how Olsen's going to, and it makes it difficult to prepare for a team when there is a change like that, even if no one's fired, if like a head coach calls the plays and he goes, okay, actually I'm going to, step down and let someone else call the plays, those kind of performances, usually that's tough for defenses, right? You've seen that over the years, that fresh offensive coordinator midseason, there was a change of responsibilities and the offensive coordinator has a good game. So they definitely had the advantage. I think some of the mystery, and probably you're going to show us on Tuesday or Wednesday.
I agree with that. That's
some different things that they did that the Broncos probably were not ready for.
Yeah.
So,
which means are the Eagles going to be ready for some of that stuff then too? It's going to be a couple weeks before somebody gets ready for it. Basically by that thought process to me.
Okay. Sounds good to me. Let's do it.
All right,
Raider Nation, we appreciate everyone for tuning in. This is the Tape Don't Lie Raiders Film Channel. We're doing a live reaction of the Raiders win over the Broncos 34-24. We appreciate everyone for tuning in to this live reaction show. Make sure you follow us on Twitter. Follow Marcus at the Mark John NFL. Follow myself at BD Williams 18. Also hit up Manscaped, okay, into the promo code TDL for 20% off plus free shipping any Manscaped product. Get something for someone during this holiday season. That's it for us, Raider Nation. We appreciate you guys. Go Raiders.